Okay, my first reaction to this was, huh? Me? Why? Lee Ellison came by about a month and a half ago and asked me to do this, and and my daughter was there at the house, and she said, Mom, you won't sing a solo. Why in the world are you going to do this? She said, why are you going to preach? I said, wait a minute. I'm not preaching. I'm going to talk, and I'm going to give a little message, but I'm not preaching. And I didn't give Lee an answer right away. I said, let me think on it a minute. And that was probably about Thursday of a week. And on Sunday, I looked at him and said, yes, I'll do it. But I have great respect for him preparing this every week, okay? It takes a little time and effort, and I'm not by any chance Lee, but I do have some things I want to share. First of all, though, I have a very important message, and it comes from Dana Heath. By Debbie, who said yesterday, if I don't tell you this, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. And if I don't share it, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. So here it is. Dana said, thank you, thank you, thank you. He is so grateful for all your thoughts and prayers and just every moment that people have called, and just it's touched him. He is still on the slow road to recovery, but I think he's beginning to feel a little bit better. But just continue to pray for Dana and for Debbie as she works through this with him. And she's coming back to work a little bit so she can get out of the house. And he's seeming to do real well. I would like to say that today my being before you and sharing my thoughts are dedicated to my dad, because he set this example for me and always challenged me to give my best. So here's to you, Dad, and I hope I go that extra mile just for you. Not long ago, I had a very personal experience which made me take a closer look at two concepts: being responsible and being a servant to others. Who is responsible and who should serve? First, I would have to say everyone. Everyone should be, young and old alike. Responsibility and service have no age limits or requirements. Both have open memberships where anyone can belong. The basic requirements to belonging and obtaining membership is dedication and willingness to serve or to participate. True responsibility and service means going beyond what is daily required. Sometimes responsibility and service requires us to step up to the plate and get in the game. If it's your turn to bat, then you better be ready for whatever pitch comes your way, because life sure has a way of throwing you some fastballs and curves. Believe me, I know. True responsibility and service require time and effort and the ability to not just see you in the mirror, but to the faces of others. At this time, I'd like to look at four little words: I, me, mine, and myself. I, me, mine, and myself. Well, those four words pack a powerful punch. How many times in the last day, week, month, or year have you used those words? How many times have you focused on you and your needs rather than someone else's? Is that wrong? Should you focus on yourself? Yes, of course, because you are important and taking care of you is important. But God challenges us to go beyond I, me, mine, and myself. He challenges us to reach out to others and to become responsible, caring servants. What exactly is a servant? All of us can conjure up various definitions of this word because our connotations of the word servant may vary to degrees. Some people may have a strong negative connotation to the word servant, almost feeling like they are a slave to someone else, while others don't have that connotation at all. But we need to ask ourselves, what did Jesus show us and what did he tell us about being a servant? First of all, Jesus showed us how to be a servant by his example. He lived his life by giving to others and helping others. He healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he comforted the weary, he gave hope to those in despair. Jesus put the needs of others before his own. Jesus taught by his example the importance of being a servant. In John 13, and I'd like to read a few verses. John 13, verses 4 through 7. Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter." And verses 12 through 17. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Neither one who is sent is greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." By this example, Jesus showed that no one is too high or too good to perform a service, no matter how lowly. You can probably say, "Well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have someone's feet to wash." But yes, it does apply to you. Recently, I never imagined some of the ways I would care for my dad's physical needs, but I did. I never questioned my responsibility. I just did what needed to be done. And sure, it was my dad, and that should make it easy, taking care of someone you loved. But in some ways, that doesn't make it any easier. In fact, it makes it harder. But through God, we have the strength to serve and to accept responsibility for helping others. When we serve, it has a positive influence on others, and we are the light of this world, for the cause of Christ. In a sense, when we serve, we are making an offering to God. It is an offering of obedience.
We Jesus, we lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are in offering, we are in offering. Oh, that we have, oh, that we are, oh, that we hope to be, we give to you, we give. We lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are in offering, we are in offering. What
offering of yourself are you willing to make? You might say to yourself, I can't heal. Yes, maybe not. But can you give someone comfort who is hurting? Can you personally let that person know that you'll help in any possible way? Can you look around you and say, what can I do to help? That's the question, what can I do? Why should it always be someone else? You probably could list many reasons as to why you can't be of service to someone else, and probably the number one answer would be this: I have no time. No time. I'm too busy taking care of me. Too busy doing homework. Too busy practicing football or some other sport. Too busy memorizing my music for my recital. Too busy making a living and providing for my family. Too busy. I'm just too busy. Really? But maybe you do have time. Just think, does God have time for you? The Son of God looked need squarely in the face even when he was exhausted. When he saw the burden of someone else, he offered to help to ease that load. Jesus simply asked, what do you want me to do for you? Maybe that is the question we need to ask more often. What can I do for you? As Christian parents and grandparents, we have a responsibility to teach this question to our young people. What can I do for you? And not, what is in it for me? As a teacher, I remember, especially at Christmas time, there would be the collection of canned goods at school to help with the Christmas Mother program. And sometimes they would run these little contests to see which class could collect the most canned goods and so forth and so on. Well, the contest didn't interest me a lot, but collecting the canned goods mattered to me. And so I was always trying to encourage my students to bring canned goods in. And invariably, every single year, there was always at least one student, but more than likely more than one, that would ask this question: do we get extra credit if we bring a canned good in? Some of you probably know what my response to that was, because it was the same every year. My reply was, no, absolutely not, because you need to give to help someone else and not to be rewarded for giving, because the reward comes from the act of giving. Guess who always had a lot of canned goods in their classroom? I did. And it worked. And in a sense, I think I was teaching that concept. What can I do for you? not what's in it for me. Another example of this I recently observed at our farm where we're picking blueberries, and this elderly woman was there, and she had a cane, and I think I'm real in tune to older people now and people that use walkers and have canes and things like that. So I was watching her rather closely, and there were two families at the checkout counter at the same time. There was a mother with a little boy, and I'd say he was about 5 years old, and they were standing up at the checkout counter where I was at the cash register. And there was another little girl about maybe 7, 8, or 9, I don't know for sure, and she was standing back behind with her mother. And the lady was getting her produce and vegetables, and she was bringing it over to the counter to place it, to pay for it, and she dropped her cane. And very quietly, the mother to the little boy said to him, "Why don't you go help that lady pick up her cane?" And the little girl over here that was behind the scene and was watching it all, she didn't hear that mother, and her mother didn't say anything to her, but she saw the woman drop the cane, and she began to proceed up to that lady, and the little boy, who was prompted by his mother, he turned, and they both walked over, and they both bent down to pick up the cane almost at the same time to give to the lady. Now, I smiled, and the lady smiled, and she thanked them, and I thanked them. But I thought to myself as I was preparing this, okay, one child already knew, what can I do for you? Already knew that question. The other one, though, it was obvious that the mother was teaching that responsibility to her child, was teaching the question, what can I do for you? What can I do for you can be a very simple task, and I think Kitty kind of mentioned that. It can be a simple task. And picking up the cane for that lady was a simple task, but it was a very meaningful task because she had her hands full and she needed the cane for assistance. So I think we need more acts of kindness, small acts of kindness. We need more acts of service to others. And this time, Sarah Blankenship is going to read some scripture for me.
This is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" Kathy asked me to share something I shared to the choir this past week when we were practicing the song that we sang during offerings called the Servant Song. And one of my friends is in Africa, and she's in Democratic Republic of Congo with an aid organization. And I don't know how much you know about that country, but it's pretty much been in civil war for 60 years. She lives with, she has a guard and guard dogs. She has a driver. And it's a place where if things go wrong, you don't call the police, because when they get there, whoever pays more money is found to be in the right, and the other person might get arrested. So anyways, she's been there for a year and a half, and just has never felt fear. She's just been able to be there and do the work she's doing there for God and for the people there. And but recently, a couple weeks ago, she just started to experience fear and was not able to sleep. And around the same time she was telling me about this, we started practicing that song. And there's a line in there that says, the first whole verse is, we are sisters or pilgrims on a journey. We are sisters on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. And those words, is like God was like, Sarah, this is you. This is you right now. You get to be the Christ. You get to hold the Christ light for your friend in the nighttime of her fear. And so I wrote those words out to her, and I was like, Katie, I'm thousands of miles away, but I'm telling you the truth that there is no fear in Christ. I'm praying for you. I can't do much, but this is what, the truth is there is no fear, and I'm here for you. And she printed those words out the next day and continued to read them and continued to pray. And it took a long time. It wasn't immediately, but over the next couple of weeks, the fear's gone again, and she's been able to sleep. And I guess Kathy wanted me to share that just because it was a kind of service that wasn't really an action. It was just words, and it was thousands of miles away, but and it helped her serve. I mean, she's the whole point of her being there is to serve. So that's it.
I was very touched when she told me that on Wednesday night, and she was very gracious to share that moment with you. What powerful words. Done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. That's food for thought. Maybe it makes you find a little time. The funny thing about being a servant and being a responsible human being is that God doesn't expect all the bells and whistles. No ad needs to be placed in the paper proclaiming your service. The world need not know. You just need to do. Why? Because when you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. So you can say to yourself, I have helped someone in need this week. I look beyond myself, and therefore I help God. And Sarah can say that. She wrote the words of a song that was already written, but she put it on a piece of paper and sent it to someone. So look beyond yourself. At this time, I'd like to read words from a song. Some of you might remember the words from this song from Billy Fleming's memorial service. Her sister read this, and those of us who remember Billy remember her as a living example of being a servant to others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. In Mark 10, Tom read earlier, once again, I'd like to just reiterate part of this. It is not so among you, but whosoever wishes to be great among you, you shall be your servant. And whosoever wishes to be first among you, you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Here's my prayer, Lord. Help me live for others, that I may live like thee. Now I know there are many dedicated servants in this church. And I also believe that there are those of us who could step it up a little. Service comes with a certain attitude, one of caring and willingness. True service doesn't come with, shoo, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do it. Being a true servant to others requires a positive mental attitude that comes from the heart. Being a servant isn't just a church thing. It's an at-home thing. It's an at-work thing. It's an at-school thing. It's just a plain everywhere thing wherever a need is seen. Remember those four words, I, me, mine, and myself? God has given us choices. We can be responsible, caring, serving Christians who are willing to step up to the plate and look beyond our own needs. We can be the one who asks, what can I do for you? Or we can sit back and reflect on our own image in the mirror and make sure that number one is well taken care of. The choice is yours. How do you want to live your life? And in closing, George gave me a poem that I would like to read at this time. So, George, this is for you. I know something good about you, and the author of this poem is unknown. Wouldn't this old world be better if the folks we met would say, I know something good about you, and then treat us just that way? Wouldn't it be fine and dandy if each hand clasp warm and true carried with it this assurance, I know something good about you? Wouldn't things here be more pleasant if the good that's in us is all? We're the only thing about us that folks bother to recall. Wouldn't life be lots more happy if we praised the good we see? For there's such a lot of goodness in the worst of you and me. Wouldn't it be nice to practice this fine way of thinking too? You know something good about me. I know something good about you. What do you want to do this week?